Thank you, Dr. DeBruyne. As Dr. DeBruyne introduced, my name is Vince Davis from the University of Illinois, and I've only been a soybean specialist at the University of Illinois for about 8 months, so the first thing I want to do is acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Emerson Nafziger and Ralph Eskar, for providing me with these data to analyze once I got there. Emerson wanted to make sure I had something to do. I wanted to talk about response to soybean seeding rates from these studies. And soybean yield is minimal over a wide range of seeding rates. And this is not new. In fact, there are many publications, and I didn't attempt, like Dr. Pedersen did, to list all of the publications that have studied this over the years, because there are so many I would miss some for sure. But this is definitely not a new observation. So why look at soybean seeding rates, and what is new is a real question here. What's new is the rise in soybean seed cost, and this has already been alluded to a couple times this morning. But farmers are really interested in reducing seeding rates from an economic standpoint, but they obviously wonder what the risks are before they undergo this endeavor. To give you a little background here, are the 14 most previous years of yield data in Illinois, and you can see we're increasing yield at about 22 kilograms per hectare, or about 0.4 bushels per year over the last 14 years. And this is matches the data that Dr. Speck talked about the other day, if you were in that presentation. So what's interesting is if we overlay the increase in soybean yield with the increase in soybean price. Now the increase in soybean cost here I derived from our ag economist at the University of Illinois and is available through our FarmDoc system. And the one thing I want to point out here is this is the increase in seed cost on a per area basis over the last 14 years. So if there are any seeding rate changes farmers have already been making, it's somewhat reflected already in this graph. So it isn't exactly the true cost in just the soybean seed itself. Wrong way. So where are farmers seeding at currently? These are some data that's a couple years old now, but Sean Conley published out of a mail survey conducted in Indiana in 2006. What's interesting to note is about three-quarters of the farmers surveyed were seeding at rates greater than 432,000 seeds per hectare, or 175,000 seeds per acre. Now, over the last 3 years, and shifting to the next ice state to the west, I would anticipate right now farmers are already seeding a little bit lower rates than is reflected on this table, but I still think it's a pretty good representation of where we're at the moment. So what are the drawbacks to reduced seeding rates? Some of this has already been mentioned today. Established plant stands can be too low. That's the obvious and foremost thing we need to worry about. Slower canopy development with causing potentially less weed suppression is an issue. The bigger issue, though, and Dr. Pedersen really alluded to this earlier in these things, but it's the farmer's perception of what looks right or what does or doesn't work in his mind on his farm. And so when farmers and agronomists have 30 years of experience or more looking at soybean stands at the V1 to V3 stage, it looks dramatically different if they're looking at 180,000 versus 80,000 plants per acre at that stage. But it does bring up the questions how much we really know about management in lower soybean plant populations. Seed treatments are becoming more common or of more interest. Weed control, we have a lot more genetic GMO traits to allow us to use more non-selective herbicides now, so this is an interesting consideration. Pod height we just listened to becomes a question if we really reduce rates. Row spacing, I believe, was brought up a couple presentations ago. So all of these are interesting questions, and you'll notice in my title, as in the title here, there's a question mark about what these risks are. So that's what I wanted to look at these data for. Materials and methods of a couple studies I want to talk about. Appropriate maturity groups ranging from 2.4 to 3.8 were used. in accordance across the state. All of these locations I'm going to discuss were in conventional tillage systems. Normal planting dates for the regions, these were done by our variety testing group, who plant very timely. Most all of these locations were planted in the first half of May. They were all harvested in a pretty timely manner, which would be mid-September to early October in Illinois. They were all glyphosate resistant, and glyphosate was used for weed control, so we don't expect any weed competition interactions with these data. And I'm going to be talking about seeding rates today, not plant stand rates, but we had good plant stand establishment at all of these locations. So the two studies I want to discuss, the first one I am not going to discuss very much other than on this slide, but it was conducted from 98 to 2000 at three different locations for a total of seven site years. What I want to discuss is in this study we used three seeding rates ranging from 309 to 556,000 seeds per hectare over three row spacing widths. We did not see a row spacing width by seeding rate interaction, and we did not see a significant difference between the 19 and 38 centimeter rows, but we did have a small but significant yield decrease moving from the 38 centimeter to 76 centimeter rows, which matches what we heard earlier. The other comment I want to make before I leave this study here is that the response and the variance across the three seeding rates matches and corresponds very well with the next study that I'm going to discuss in a little bit more detail. So the next study was conducted more recently from 2005 to 2008 up to nine locations per year for a total of 33 site years. So in total I've analyzed 40 site years worth of data over the last decade. This study had four seeding rates starting at 124,000 seeds per acre or per hectare, increasing by 124,000 up to 494, and it was planted all in 76 centimeter rows. This just gives you a geographical representation of where our maturity groups were planted across the state. 2.4s and 2.5 in the northern part. A little bit more of our locations were in the maturity group 3.2 range, and then 3.8 at the southern locations. Here are the data graphed over the four seeding rates on the x-axis and yield on the y-axis. You can see the separation from a mixed model analysis of variance. I probably, as I went over this earlier, I probably should have changed that LSD to like a 0.2. It still would not have changed the letter separation of this yield. Now, as an agronomist, this has already been discussed today, I thought, you know, our most important thing is to maximize light interception at the onset of flowering. So I always believed that as we would have increased our seeding rate, we would have reduced our risk of not capturing the maximum light interception at flowering, and therefore we would be more likely to always achieve the average or the maximum yield potential of the particular field if we were starting with more plants per acre and relying on those plants to compensate for one another accordingly, therefore reducing our risk. So I was mostly interested in the fact of not what our means do over a wide range of yield, but what our variance does over that wide range. So the first thing I looked at was the spread or the range of raw data, and I was quite surprised to find that the range was very similar across all of these seeding rates. The other thing to look at would have been simply the coefficient of variation, and we could have done other things. I did do a Brown and Forsyth test for homogeneity of variance, which was non-significant, but I think this pretty much tells a story that lumped over all 33 locations, the variance was very similar for all of the seeding rates in this study. So we wanted to try to look at this a little bit more. And at 11 of our 33 locations, we did not have an increasing yield response to increasing seeding rates. So 33% of the time, we did not increase yield above 124,000 seeds per hectare seeding rate. So any money spent beyond that seeding rate would pretty much be an economic loss to the grower, and at the cost I showed or looking at the graph I showed you at the beginning of this presentation, you could see that could be significant. Two of these 11 had a significant decrease in yield above the 124 seeding rate. So the real question is how this correlates to the yield potential of the location with 33 site years. And I really don't like this question because I don't like trying to arbitrarily assign what that yield potential should be. But I just did the analysis of variance for all 33 locations independently then and just grouped them as I showed you. And you can see the 22 locations that had a positive significant response, with the 9 locations that had no significant response and the 2 with a significant decrease. And you can see that they all intersect at between 150 to 200,000 seeds per acre rate. So at least at one seeding rate or another, they all seemingly had the same type of yield potential. How does it correlate to maturity group zone? This is definitely related, can't really be separated in this experiment, also from geographical location in the state, where our early maturity group zones represent the northern part of the state here. But we do not see a significant interaction with maturity group or geographical location in Illinois. It's pretty much the same response for all three. If I arbitrarily took the 33 locations and did the analysis of variance with that as the cofactor, the maturity group as a cofactor, there's no significant interaction between maturity group and seeding rate response. You could arguably say we got a little bit more bang for the buck of increasing seeding rate at the southern locations than the northern locations, represented by the red line there on the bottom. So how does this correlate to temperature or rainfall? This is where I was really interested at the beginning and was hoping to have some good things to discuss here under this. But I spent a very significant amount of time trying to tease apart what some interactions would be with rainfall during the growing season. And in fact, I just cannot seem to find any type of correlation to explain the variability at those 33 locations due to rainfall. Now, we have pretty good soils in Illinois, so we have pretty good water holding capacity, obviously, but seeing the same similar spread in yields from about 17 centimeters of rain for the season being between May 1st and September 15th, all the way up to in the 70 centimeter range of rainfall during that growing season span. So we fit these data to a quadratic plus plateau model. The breaking point for this model was at 343,000 seeds per hectare. And then I graphed this to soybean seeding cost for an economic value to the dollar. Again, or economic optimum seeding rate. Again, on the y-axis, you'll see where we've moved over the last 15 years. 15 years ago, we were at about 7 cents per thousand seeds. Today we're somewhere between 35 and 55 cents per thousand seeds. It's a much wider range, and the highest prices are real close to that 55 cents. So that's how we've changed in the last 15 years. If you look at economic optimum seeding rate across the whole graph, you can see the pink zone there as the intersect, and the soybean value in American would be $6 to $16 per bushel is a range across the top there. So what I've deduced from this, or at least tried to get across to some of my growers and recommendations, is that the agronomics to seeding rate really hasn't changed a whole lot. But because the economics have changed, if you use this information, we can see that the economic optimum seeding rate, when we weren't paying very much for seed, was very little across a wide range of value for your soybean at the end of the year. But where we're approaching now in soybean seed cost at around, say, the 50 cent mark, not only has economic optimum seeding rates dropped 40 to 80,000 seeds per hectare, but the economic optimum difference between that range of soybean value at the end of the year has also varies now 40 to about 80,000 seeds per hectare. So it's a much more important decision today than it ever used to be for the grower to select the appropriate seeding rate. So in response, or in conclusion here, we think probably most farmers can reduce seeding rates by 15 to 20%. That's making a general assumption that we know exactly where all of them are seeding to begin with. But I don't think we fully have answered the question mark in the title of my slide, but this work does call for an increased need to understand more of the agronomic interactions to and management to much lower seeding rate populations. So if I have time, I'll take
time for one question. Since Emerson flipped this data, I don't suppose you have any stand counts, but do you think, I know you're kind of new, but do you think there would be some, since you didn't really find any difference, I guess it doesn't really matter, I guess, but would you see some differences among your locations, and would that be kind of an important piece of the information on?
Well, yeah, so to summarize the question, would we see different results, I guess, if we analyze this for plants per area versus seeds per area? Yeah, a couple responses to that. The first experiment I talked about, we did have plant stand data, and I have looked at that, and it really doesn't tell any different story than the seeds per acre data. Now, what it does do is actually, in that experiment, the 7.5-inch or the narrowest rows were actually planted with a drill, where the others were planted with units. And we actually had a little bit less plant stand establishment with the drill or in the narrowest rows there. So we had a little bit less seeding efficiency. But in terms of correlating plant population to yield, it really didn't change many of the results. On a second study, yeah, that was a lot of locations, or there were a lot of locations, and we didn't have plant stand data. And I would assume that would not change the recommendations here a little bit. So I think going over the parameters of when they were planted, that they were all planted timely and maintained weed-free, was kind of important to understand for this data, being that the farmer still has to make a decision based on seeds that he's going to plant. So I do still kind of like, at least in extension, talking about seeds, optimum seeding rate versus optimum plant per acre. Just from the standpoint, that's a decision they have to make.
All right. Thank our speaker.